This show is about spoilers and discussion. It's also about spooky things that are best enjoyed after you see the movie. So any movie we talk about, we recommend you go see. You've been warned.
All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
An excellent day for an exorcism.
The horror. There is no shortage of monsters to haunt our dreams.
The horror.
You got red on you.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
The horror.
Alive, it's alive.
Groovy.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Oh, the Horror. It's a look at horror films from a relative newcomer and a enthusiast perspective from horror films, from classic and modern horror films. This week, we are going to be taking a look at the 1986 cult film Terror Vision.
Yeah. So this is directed by Ted Niccolo. It is a very weird movie. I found this on Amazon probably a few months ago. I didn't really know what I was getting into. I had seen this box art as a kid, like, you know, at the video store, and you see it and all that shit, and you're just like, I don't know, do I really want to watch this? And then one day, you know, you get real stoned and you just watch it.
I mean, there's one thing that could be said about the 80s, and it does have a proclivity for amazing horror film box art.
Yeah, no, the box art on this one's pretty great. I mean, you got the satellite dish and the eye, and the big T and the V on there mm-hmm. for, you know, TV. So this film is basically about a family who gets a new TV satellite dish, and at the same time, there's these aliens that are getting rid of their trash, and they beam it out on waves, and for some reason it dinks around and hits planet to planet to planet, and then ends up hitting this guy's do-it-yourself 100 satellite dish and gets trapped inside of the television, basically, and then can come out and absorb people into itself and kind of wreaks havoc on this family.
Exactly. And now the synopsis of this film alone kind of would sound like it's a typical sort of monster horror film, but
right.
It's very much a comedy like this as well. It's
very,
a horror
very much a comedy,
comedy.
And it kind of takes the perfect family that you would expect, the 1980s perfect family, and turns it on its head. So you have the husband and wife, played by Garrett Graham and Mary Warnoff, are swingers, or I guess they're like trying to be swingers.
They're
trying to live this swinger lifestyle.
They're really trying. It's like if the Griswolds tried swinging for
a weekend. Oh yeah, yeah. And it's like trying so hard, and they're always talking to their kids about it.
Which is so not what you should do.
So Diane Franklin and Chad Allen play the kids. The daughter, you can tell, is very into like punk music. She's got like the rainbow colored hair, and the son is kind of like a little army kid, loves the army stuff. And the grandfather in there too, like he comes in. And
this film, by the way, could not be more in touch with the 80s pop culture zeitgeist at the time than anything
to
else.
To a fucking T.
Not only is it like fascinated with like the kids' culture of like, okay, the kid loves Rambo and guns
right.
and stuff like that, and the girl loves like Madonna, MTV, and all
right.
that stuff, but the fascination of television
right.
in that time frame. For some reason, it's like it was revitalized from the 50s, where like everybody's worried about like it rotting your brain and TV like destroying the minds of the youth.
But now it's like bringing the family together. Like that's how they see it, is in their minds of
yeah.
like, we have this, but now it literally is rotting the minds because this thing is like dissolving people is throughout the film. But seeing like the parents in their 70s style swinging clothes or whatever, because like the girl's boyfriend OD, played by John Grease, you remember him as Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite.
Mm-hmm.
He was so great in this. He's all like leathered out and dressed up like a punk rocker.
It's a brilliant like turn of events to see so many actors that you kind of recognize.
Yeah, you
in like leading roles that get their shot in the spotlight.
It's really cool to see. Like, you have, you know, Diane Franklin, who you've seen in a lot of films from the 80s, like the love interest in Better Off Dead and a bunch of other stuff that came out. To see her, like, you know, as one of the main focuses of the movie. Yeah, as you said, like, it's awesome. And John Grease in there. And, like, it's a very strange movie. It owns the fact that it's really strange. You have backdrops instead of actual, like, skylines. So it
feels
like...
Yeah, and it's very self-aware.
And it's very self-aware that it's that cheesy. And then inside the house, good God, so the set decorator for this movie, holy shit.
He must have actually spent a lot of time in probably affluent drug dealers' homes in the 80s because it looks exactly like I would assume it would be.
It's so amazing because you have like you have all this art and it's all highly sexual. So it's like weird
and it's
bondage.
Like a and this is like the family room.
It's the family room with fetish bondage art, cartoon naked people everywhere. And like the kids are just hanging out in there like it's nothing. They're watching pornos and shit like that. And the kids are like, whatever.
It's like, yeah.
Or the parents are swingers and talking to the kids about swinging. And the kids are just kind of like, whatever.
The funny parts about this movie is where you get to have to hear these parents talk openly about like all of these very adult things, and then their daughter's just basically like a sitcom. Just oh, guys, come on, that's
yeah.
gross.
So it's very well. They even so this creature can absorb people, and basically it puts its claw into them. They pump it pumps out some green ooze into them or whatever, dissolves them, but then it can like replicate them and turn into them. But they look like they're covered in slime. So,
which is not exactly the best cover in some
no,
ways.
No, it's not,
but
it works. For... it works very amusingly in this film, with the grandfather saying he has to do his business first of all, which sounds just gross as hell.
Nope.
Every time he looks, so when they're watching this TV show, there's like an Elvira character, this Medusa chick, and every time that they see her, he's always talking about her boobs. It's like the men in this film have never seen a pair of breasts before,
mm-hmm.
ever. They're so excited, like it is the Holy Grail.
It's very, it feels like in a weird way, a very Saturday morning cartoonish sort of way. Like this is something that like would have easily gotten rejected by Svengoolie, but would have fit right in
yeah.
with what he would have aired. And I'm still kind of fascinated at how endearing this movie is to itself, because a lot of
yeah.
these things, like a lot of the way that like typical, not that well known 80s creature features would be, not that great.
No.
But in this weird way, it can be funny and occasionally witty at times.
It's funny, witty, gross. It's super gross. I mean, I like the idea that this thing can... It almost feels like a couple of films put into one. So this creature can turn into other people. So there's one point where the parents should be swinging and they think the parents are dead. And so they go in and like the parents are all in bed together with this other couple, but they're all covered in this goo and you see everything underneath the covers moving and it looks like a weird sex thing, but you can tell it's this thing's tentacles or whatever underneath there.
Yeah.
But to them, they just are like, oh, our parents are having this weird sex thing. And then grandpa appears, but they're like, gross, grandpa.
Come on. Like it's a cereal commercial.
Yeah. And then they all just leave. You know what it reminds me of? It looks like a parody commercial of the Capri Sun one that they did, that parody commercial where...
Yeah.
The person gets like, they turn into a blob of goo and they vomit the acid on
right,
the kid.
Right.
But it's like that 90s commercial.
Mm-hmm.
This feels like that commercial as a full movie.
It is in a weird way because it's self-aware, but like all of the characters
yeah.
inside of it are very enveloped in its own sort of world in a weird
right,
way.
Right.
And all of the absurdity is believable because of how committed all of these characters are to it.
Yeah.
And a movie that seems to be centered around, like, because it's there's a big kind of central theme actually that you can derive from all of this, and it's focused around the television.
Right.
And in the beginning, we see this like sort of alien that's like kind of quickly wanting to dispose of this thing,
mm-hmm.
and it fades into a like fuzzy static television, and then the credits roll, and then it fades out into what we assume to be Earth,
right.
and everybody else watching TV. And they're watching all of these weird, absurd things on the television. And I'm like, oh, so this is going to be like, this could be a vehicle for like UHF from another dimension or something like that.
Like very Stay Tuned. You
exactly.
think it's going to be like trapped in different channels and things like that.
And we get to see like different sort of like horror skits
right,
and everything.
Right.
And a couple of the movies that they were watching, I'm like, oh, these seem pretty cool. Like
yeah.
I would love to actually
yeah.
like delve into some of this stuff. But in a weird way, it's also above that, its central theme stays with the television along with them having to kind of overcome what happens in it in
yeah.
a weird way. Because the alien that accidentally sends this creature to the planet is dramatically apologizing
yeah.
through the television.
So, and they keep thinking it's a TV show.
Yeah.
And they're like, man, this is just this dude on there. And they finally realize, like, he's, you know, being like, no, you need to destroy this thing, like turn off your TVs, destroy your satellites, destroy all this stuff.
And,
like,
and it's a perfect sort of giveaway for the actual monster reveal, because
right.
now they don't believe it until it's actually revealed.
Right. And then when you see, well, the funny part is when they see the monster, you're waiting for it to turn into a bloodbath, and instead the monster, like when OD puts his arms up and he sees the leather, it reminds him of whoever was his caretaker.
Yeah, his, yeah.
On and their planet, because I guess they so this creature, when you see it, is like disgusting looking, but it's in, it has like personality,
it's
and charm
got a kind
to
of
it.
An angelic smile and a
like,
weird fun
it
eye.
It looks like a fucking pug or a bulldog. Like its face is really
almost,
weird.
It's almost cute.
It's
in
almost
the
cute.
Face.
It's almost cute. And the thing is, it's meant to be like their version of a dog. And if it mutates too much,
yeah.
that's what it turns into.
Exactly.
So it's cool because when you see it, you're like, man, this thing's kind of acting like a dog. And then you find out, oh, it is basically a dog that ended up getting mutated all weird. And then they got rid of it like space garbage. And now it's on Earth, like eating and consuming whatever it wants to.
Yeah. And there are excellent sort of heel turn moments in this movie that
yeah.
are also very clever as well, because you get to like... When the parents go to their first, what appears to be their first swingers party, but apparently they've been talking about it like they've been doing it for a while.
They say they've
and
done
I think,
it a few
I
times.
Think full-
I know that you probably think they're full of shit. I think they've done it probably once or twice, but they said it like failed like every time because they met people on like personal ads and
yeah,
stuff.
And you
newspaper.
Don't know who you're getting into.
Yeah.
Exactly. But I kind of feel like they were just putting that on so they didn't feel like they were inexperienced.
Right, right.
Because that's something that you would do to yeah. just act like you've been at this sort of thing
except
before.
That fucking hot tub of theirs.
Yeah, it's
like,
huge.
His
it's
giant
a,
ass,
a,
his giant remote with a little spinning a satellite thing on it, the little dish.
Yeah,
and it's just like a hot tub. I'm like, dude, that's a fucking pool. That's
yeah,
not a hot
that's
tub.
Not,
like,
and he calls it the jacuzzi.
The jacuzzi. And then he's like, "Holy tomatoes!"
Yeah. It's so schlocky and cheesy and over the top, and it works so well because all of these other characters are over the top.
Right.
And a lot of things that make the movie endearing, actually, are when things kind of get turned on their head, because when the kids actually get to finally meet the monster.
Right.
It's a bit, like, the kid, like, the little boy is, like, ready to kill it.
Right.
And the couple's kind of freaked out, but after it gets pet by something, like, it kind of coils back, and they have, like, a sort of a training pet moment of,
yeah.
like, teaching it food and words.
So you got, like, you have a montage sequence of, like, how it's going through and like, it trying to be, to eat, and, yeah, it talks, and then you're like, oh, what the fuck is gonna happen with this movie now? You think it's just gonna change completely, and then, that's short-lived.
Yes, but I like to think that normally in most movies, kids that would have like bonded with the creature like that, they would have been like, oh no, it's so hard to kill him. Like, we can't do it. It's like, ah. But like the second that it turns
on
them,
they're like,
ready to kill it.
They're like, fuck that shit, throwing grenades at it, blowing shit up.
And that, I could only imagine that child has been thoroughly traumatized by his grandfather, who is a war veteran of like... In the beginning,
yeah.
In the beginning, when like the kid's like playing guns and like he sneaks up with his plastic like
right.
gun or whatever to his grandpa, he's like bop bop, and then his grandpa actually
pulls
out
a
real
gun.
And he's like, ah, you little kid, and I'm like, that's not cool.
No, not cool at all.
You're not pointing a real gun at a child.
That's what, yeah, but I mean, you know, you look at the grandfather, he's got all these like toy planes stuck in his hat, like he looks like a caricature.
Yeah,
like he doesn't seem like he can be real. I'll say this: the movie feels like a Saturday, as you said, like Saturday morning cartoon, but come to life. Like,
mm-hmm.
it easily could be translated into cartoon form.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think that it's a special kind of a thing when you see an effect or a monster effect done like this. I don't think there's any real, like, horrible on-screen deaths, but a lot of great practical effects.
Everything's
still
done through, so there's not really a lot of gore. The only violence that's in it is the slime, like everyone either oozes or their face or the, you know, their skins, like skin gets sucked in, kind of like mm-hmm. Like deflating a balloon.
Yeah.
And that seems to be like the grossest it gets. So it's very slimy and gooey. and stuff like that.
But it's never over the top, and I'm guessing that they didn't seem to have probably the budget to do something wild and crazy like that, but it almost really works.
I think
in a weird way. It kind of just makes it a bit more...
It makes it more cartoony fun.
Yeah, and less, tame. Because yeah. I'd feel like it would almost ruin the fun for me if I got to see something too grotesque or too...
Right, because you see like the grandfather again later when he's this creature, and that's the weird part to me, is that you see them turn into these like creature things, and then there's like the weird orgy between them, so it's like there's still their personality when they get absorbed kind of in between, but then the main creature in itself, you don't see those tendrils when you see it by itself, so I'm wondering like
if there's a sort of like shared mind,
like,
sort of a
why
thing,
does
or...
it why, you know, why when they see it is it just this, but why does it appear as these people sometimes? It's very strange, like what the character chooses to do or not to do, or the abilities that the monster has, but it only decides to use them at certain points throughout the film.
And ultimately that's probably one of the bigger flaws of the movie.
I would say it's a huge flaw in it. But you know, the movie is just fucking batshit crazy to begin with. Mm-hmm. And then you're kind of wondering with the way that the Medusa thing is Medusa in on it or not? Because like, with how it's filmed at certain points,
she's kind of this weird ethereal presence.
She's like, come closer. And then you see the eye of the thing, and she's like, gotcha. And it's like, she didn't know that was going to happen.
Yeah.
She's supposed to kind of help them out, and she's like this woman just doing whatever. So when it comes to why certain stuff happens in the film, there's no explanation except for the cartoon approach of like, anything can happen in this world, no matter how zany or ridiculous it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, by using the weird backdrops where the sky is always, like, a weird purple or blue and it has that strange, like, otherworldly haze
to it.
It kind of makes you feel like you're in a world that is that of a Saturday morning cartoon. Like, basically, Pee-wee Herman's Playhouse,
mm-hmm.
this would be the house that would be, like, down the street from it.
And you believe that, sort of. Yeah. Like, you suspend your disbelief and, like, let that go and... It takes you along for the ride for like that. And it's a fun ride. It really is.
Yeah, no, it is. It's a strange ride. It's a fun ride. And then the ending, for
the
Jesus
ending's kind
Christ.
Of, the ending's kind of brilliant, actually.
It's brilliant, but it's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, well, the alien finally gets to Earth and it's like, okay, yes, we found it. Like, you have to kill it like this. Here's an entire like exposition dump, and
we may be able to get your parents back, but they'll have to live in special aquariums for the rest of their
life.
and it's
like this weird like, oh man, like this is where it's going, all of this stuff.
Yeah.
And then Medusa shows up and then immediately
because Medusa thinks that when the guy's holding his ray gun up and the kids are holding guns at them, that he's like holding them hostage because they put their guns down.
Presumptuous of Medusa to just do this,
so she hits him
expecting to go to a party.
Yeah,
by the way,
and she hits him, he goes down. His helmet cracks open and the pressure causes his head to fucking explode.
Yeah, because he's not from this planet.
And this
like,
bright blue,
losing prep, like
bright blue goo everywhere. And then the kid just goes down and goes, "No, don't die, don't be dead." And his head is just
yeah, it's
everywhere.
Just everywhere, and immediately derailing all of the potential momentum that the ending had. And then it's like, well, we just got to kill it now.
And then monster literally tears through the wall, uses its vacuum, basically its Kirby ability to vacuum stuff into its mouth, kills everyone. You see the boy on his way, and I'm expecting him to shoot the gun and kill the thing and whatever, and it doesn't, and he dies, and everyone dies. And then cut to the car that Medusa came in, her driver's there. And all of a sudden, the claw comes up, and it's like,
the studio, make it snap.
Yeah, it's half Medusa, half creature, but she's obviously, the creature's obviously eaten her, the sister, and the brother. Uh-huh. And you're just like, what? Cut to credits.
Yeah, kind of love it.
Yeah.
Kind of love that a whole bunch.
I to me, that ending is the way to go with it. In all these films, they'll always try to do some, like, soup, like, whatever happy ending, and try and do it way over the top to the point where... It's like, oh, fuck. All right. And then they might throw, like, a scare ending there where it's like, the thing's not really dead. But in this case, they're just like, yeah.
And it goes on.
They had hope. Then the hope got destroyed. And the Deus Ex Machina actually was for the monster and not for the...
Exactly.
Not for the kids.
And it's that's a very... to me, an ending like that kind of almost feels ahead of its time in a weird way.
Yeah.
It's almost smarter than the movie that came before it.
Right.
And it's just yet another great surprise
yeah.
that this movie came. I really had a fun time with this one.
I had a fun time with
it's
it, too.
Not, it's not the best one that, no, I've, no, that no, we've no, seen on all, this podcast by no. any means.
It is very much a B-movie, but it's like a B-movie. It is the B-movie I expect from the 80s. Mm-hmm. It screams everything.
It's so 80s.
Between the music, where literally there is a their theme song is called Terror Vision, and it's a song based on the movie, and it's I read the lyrics for it today because I had like the subtitles on when I'm watching this thing, because mm-hmm. they were just on, and I'm just like, these are terrible lyrics. Anyone could have just written random bullshit, and this is what it is. This is, but whatever, it doesn't matter. It screams 80s cheesy theme song.
Yeah.
And then just between that and, like, I love the practical effects in it. I mean, the monster in itself is
the monster
just
design
like,
is it's very simple and ultimately fine by compare. Like, it's no thing. It's no
but
like
it's really,
aliens.
It's effective compared to a lot of other B movie indie stuff that came out at the time. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of them were really shoddy creature jobs. And you could say, well, this thing looks weird and it looks half melted, but I'm like, yeah, that's the appeal of it. It looks like a garbage pail kid's pet, you know.
And they made it look, I mean, I keep using this word, but they made it look endearing. They made it look kind of cute and approachable.
Yeah, it had like, it looked like a combination of a garbage monster and like a pug.
Yeah.
You know?
With its cute little face.
Yeah.
And it's, but anyway,
it's
yeah.
lazy ass eye.
It's a fun movie. That's really all that there is to
yeah,
it.
Yeah. So, you know, if you haven't seen this and you're a big fan of 80s, I would say this is kind of like splatter horror. It's not gory, but it's definitely like a gross out gooey type film.
Yeah, and it's if I could find like a PG-13ification of 80s like gore house movies, this is kind of it.
Even though it's still R and it's got reasons for why it's R.
Yeah, but as far as like actual like shock value is concerned, no, it's a comedy at heart.
Yeah. But this one, it's just really cool. I feel like influences from this movie were movies that were like Stay Tuned and other stuff like that, where they mm-hmm. wanted to take it and go a little further with it.
I feel like this movie is a great reference pull from a lot of other cultural staples of movies that were going on at the time.
Yeah.
And kind of just plays with them.
So let's talk about this for 1 second. Lizard Tail Jerky.
Yeah, there's a weird obsession with lizards in the movie
there's an obsession with it because it's very monster movie of mm-hmm. like the lizard thing, but then the lizard tail jerky, it feels like someone read about that and then decided to like really just fucking run with it. Like, lizard tails regenerate, it becomes a sustainable food source, and the grandfather is just like gung-ho. Oh, and that fucking bomb shelter, that house not only had like a panic room type thing, but that's a full-fledged bomb shelter that the grandfather lived in, that was like giant metal door, like two-story, you know, a story deep or something like that. Like, that thing was insane.
There's a lot of like character building things that happen along the way with a lot of these, especially the grandfather, but a lot in the set design of like getting to see like seeing that Greek guy's apartment with the gigantic jacuzzi and all of the, again, lewd paintings and ridiculous apparatuses in the home.
Wait, the Greek? No, the regular guy.
Or the regular guy. Excuse me.
Yeah, it was very strange, and it definitely screamed like Reagan era.
Right, but it's...
It definitely epitomized the Reagan era 80s. Mm-hmm. Like, bigger is better. You have to have everything. Like, living the life and mm-hmm. having like the two kids and everything, but the kids are all messed up and like... Right. The parents are, I mean, it definitely takes the piss out of the life that people were supposed to have in the 80s, like that cookie cutter family life.
Exactly.
And it's like everybody is into their own weird shit, and it's very, the American dream is not what it seems like.
Yes, yeah, it's this weird perversion of the American
dream. It's definitely a very perverse American dream, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, so Terror Vision, I recommend it. It's something that you should see after having seen, like, if you're a fan of, like, 80s films in general, and you want to see what a movie in the 80s was trying to, like, I guess, kind of take the piss out of, or even, like,
or just
have
just,
fun with.
Yeah, just to get weird for the sake of getting weird. Like, it's a very interesting film. Like, you watch it and just be like, what the hell? What the hell did I get myself into?
Exactly. So yeah, that is probably it for us. That's
yeah, I think
a
so.
Great movie.
I mean, I would highly recommend watching it, especially for like seeing the cast is awesome. I mean, you have a great cast.
They bounce
it.
Right off of each other.
Yeah,
it's so
I mean,
good.
They definitely ham it up a lot, but like it's a lot of fun. So Mary Warrenoff is awesome as usual, and Garrett Graham is just fucking hilarious.
Oh, she's so good.
That. Yeah.
All right. So that is going to do it for us. This has been O the Horror. If you want to take a look at, find out more about us, you could follow us on Twitter at O the Horror Cast, and you could be found on Gmail at othehorrorcast@gmail.com. And check us out, and you can see us more on iTunes and wherever you get your podcasts as well. Until next time, I'm Steve Allman.
And I'm Rob Holmes.
We'll see you next time.
Look at me, Damien. It's all for you.
Come, it is time to keep your appointment with the Wicker Man.
When there's no more room in hell, the dead will walk.